Hey, hey, everyone out there, and welcome back to this special edition of Relevant Ramblings. We're going to be talking about the season end of Tower of God and our thoughts over the whole Shabazz. It's your boy. Oh, yeah. Already with Jakes. I swear. Well, at least some of us will try and keep it positive as best we can. But let me go ahead and introduce myself. It's once again your homeboys, your mans. It's the boy Sleepy.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Seraph here. Okay.
This is Art Dragoon.
And he's all smiles today. Nothing but. Or that could just be fuming rancor. I can't tell. yeah, so we finally made it to the end. All 13 episodes. And I mean, some of us have already spoken on this a little bit earlier. But, you know, one of us literally just did not watch until I reminded them that they needed to watch for this, so they powered through all episodes. Did you restart the whole series? Or did you just...
Yes.
Oh, God.
What a trooper. Holy cow.
Oh, man. So...
all at once, so I could tell you how bad it is.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it after the first few episodes when we watched it the first time in the first half, and I was like, no. Just shove this in the corner.
Oh, man. Oh boy. Well, everyone hopefully is ready and in for a treat for that, because there's definitely going to be some lines drawn here today for sure. But I'd say we can actually start off. Let's actually try and we'll try and go in on a positive note at first. OK, let's see if we can even find some common ground there. Hey, Seraph, we'll start with you. So what were some of the good things you got out of the full season? What'd you think?
Out of the full season?
Yeah.
The animations, the artwork in the background, the color palette they chose is really nice. It was super colorful, super vibrant. Everything was super nice about that. And the music, dog! The music really hit different. That's for sure.
That has definitely been one I've heard from a lot. Everyone gives a little bit of high praise for the music, 10 on 10, that their composer definitely knew what they were doing for a lot of the scenes. So I definitely can agree to that. Now you said something for the animation as well as the artwork and backgrounds they chose. I definitely agree with you on that. The color palettes, I did like them using a lot of high vibrant color palettes, even when there were darker scenes. They definitely like showed a nice juxtaposition with like, you know, a really muted color, but then a really like bright color to show something off, like
flashback. In the hide and seek game,
the hide and seek, the flashback,
you can still see everything.
The flashback with Androsa, where they show how she the history of how she basically gained her abilities, or how she grew, how she was raised in the family. That one was a pretty good one. I did like a lot of those palettes too. But yeah, definitely some good key points there that I find and agree to very much so. Ark, how about you? Is there anything that you liked in this? Anything at all?
So you didn't like the music? You didn't like the voice actors?
Nothing.
I liked.
He's trying to think.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't like just chime in and be like, I liked when it ended. Like, to be a jerk.
No, I hated that fucking ending. It was,
what do you think of the fight scenes? Were they okay?
I mean,
no.
I think the fight scenes were pretty cool. I liked the extra added bits of animation they did to show off the Senshu and the powers. I actually liked that addition from the manga.
That was
pretty cool.
For the ignition weapons.
Weapons too. Like, actually showing with whose?
Anox.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay. I like Yuri. And that's it.
Okay. Yep. All right. Cool.
Okay. All right. So one thing, we liked the princess.
I liked the one waifu. Yes.
And I approve that.
if you can't like anything, and like the wife.
I feel like it's because she was like seen less than anything in the show.
She was so basically Yuri and her crew that just showed up like for one episode.
For the entirety of like 15 minutes throughout the entire series. Yes.
Oh god. Yeah, she doesn't have a huge presence at this point in the story as much as just
I was more interested in watching Yuri and her team try to travel through the tower to try to reach Bam in time than the actual story.
Aww. Then again, you do just dislike the webtoon anyways.
Yeah. Because when you were with Yuri, you kind of had actually like bits and pieces of like storytelling that wasn't exposition. Like, oh hey, we went the wrong direction, we gotta go this other direction. Or like, oh, we can't go that direction because it's closed off or something. Like, it's enough where you're like, oh, I can piece the world in my head instead of like you regurgitating words at me.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can see you're already slipping into the bad. It was a little too difficult for you to stay all the way there.
Now we're gonna get into the
bad. All right. So yeah, we can cut over to the bad. I don't know if we want to start with Ark right away since I know he's
no,
gonna.
No, I don't want to start with the bad. Let's go start off with the mediocre. What did this do? Meh. Okay.
Meh. So what did it do? Mediocre.
Yeah, mediocre first. Before I talk about what's actually really bad about this. I did not like the fight scenes.
Okay, can you tell me why you didn't like the fight scenes?
Because there's no tension.
There's no tension.
I never believed at any point that like Bam was in any sort of trouble or like ever if there was like any sort of like, oh hey guys, there's an actual risk at this at all. And like even at the end, when like I don't know, at the crown fight,
the crown game.
Mm-hmm, okay. That where you're like, oh well, there was some sort of fucking like threat, and there was an actual like thing to like be afraid of, because Bam could have lost the sword right in the back first. Yeah, but the problem with that is like. It was Bam's fault for losing this one. He blew it up and was like, well, there's no winner or loser, therefore you have lost the bet. And I was like, oh, that's right. I totally forgot this part happened. This is real stupid. It was like, oh, I lost this by default. Oh, okay. Well, let's continue with the thing. And then when we get to the point where it's like, oh, hey, it's the hide and seek game. Okay, cool. Is Bam going to lose to the first team? No, because his fucking friend is on the other side. Like, guys, what? He made sure that only the people they wanted to win won. Like, this is not...
Okay. So now my thing is are these bad because they were the way they
no,
were done,
mediocre.
Or are these bad because you know they're going to happen that way since you've read this entire webtoon?
No, because at this point I wiped a lot of this from my fucking brain.
So you came in here.
I'll be honest.
Somewhat...
Until we got to the part where like the bull and stuff, I was like, I totally forgot this happened. I totally even forgot this thing was a thing. I totally, like, this is not a very memorable show. It's so just, like, bleh.
Bleh?
The story's bleh. Meh. Like, I see this, but done better at other places. There's actual tension in this other places. It's, like... When you have a tournament arc, you're supposed to have an actual tournament arc. This isn't a tournament arc. Unless I was blinded, everyone's points were on the fucking scoreboard all the time, I'd be like, oh, I know who's actually going to be, who's on top and who's actually going to win or lose the competition. But that's never the case. It never reminds you constantly like, oh, Bam is at the bottom of the list or something. Like, no, it doesn't do that. So like, all I knew was that Bam is the main character and he's not going to fucking lose.
He gets the plot armor.
Yeah, he gets a lot of that plot armor.
That's the problem here. Like, there's no tension, as in, like, I have nothing to define what is actually the threat. Like, they weren't just, like, there's actually any sort of, like, oh, hey, this is a bad thing that could happen, was, oh, maybe him losing the Black Porch. And, like I mentioned, that's, like, why it was stupid as to how that happened, and also, like, how he was provoked into agreeing to it. Like, he was like, no, I have to return the sword. It's not even... It is not even mine to give out or bet on, basically. And then, like no, Rack and them was like, here, we will make the bet for you. And you're like, no, this is what? This is just pushing the story along for no reason.
Okay, well, I can definitely understand on a lot of those points for, like, that mediocreness of Bam just not having any real or even the story or the story having a lot of no tension. Definitely within, like, even going back to, like, the first season within the webtoon, it has that same thing there where there's very little tension, because you know these things are pretty set in stone that he's going to continue forward. But I would not blame it for Bam having
No. I think there could be tension if what you do is just rearrange some things around. Like, and I'm not saying, like, to rearrange the events of things, but rearrange, like, when, okay, this, okay, now let's go to the actual bad. I think there is a fucking problem with how they adapted this, like, story. Okay, instead of having it, like, as readers of this, we knew that Rachel was a fucking problem, all right? We knew Rachel was going to, like, backstab him anyways. But the problem here is, like, if you were if someone who watched this for the first time, you never would have known that. And that's problematic. Like, there's no... And I'm not saying, like, you needed to know that she would have backstabbed him, but you needed to know that, like, oh, she honestly is a threat along the way, or she is an actual problem along the way, because you don't know any of that. When it does happen, you're just like, oh, that happened, instead of like, oh man, we were like, you were like salivating, like, man, when does she actually like backstab them, when does she actually do something? Okay. And there's none of that. Like, so as such, there's no tension in that.
What
they could have done is, like, in the very first episode, right, when Bam chases after Rachel, right, Rachel was still behind him. Like, we could have just had, they could have just had a quick scene, but so you see that Rachel was still there, and she just looks and looking at him, and then head on leans towards her, and then, like, says, "Oh, do you want a chance to climb the tower?" And then that would have been perfectly fine to set up later. Okay, I'm not saying that this is a terrible thing. It's just that The first season of Tower of God as the webtoon is not well written, and you had the chance as the anime to adapt it correctly and be like, hey, let's write this a bit more coherent, okay? Just so it's, like, better, all right? I'm not saying, like, and it wouldn't have been an insult at all to people who have read it before. Because that first episode was already an insult for, like, skipping half of what happens. So, right? So, like, if you're going to skip half anyways, then just rearrange some things around so that, like, I get some sort of, like, foresight or foreshadowing of what's going to happen. Like, it was so problematic that, like, when we get to Anok's backstory, all right? Anok's backstory just happened earlier. We could have, like, oh, she's laying down, or she's clutching the sword and she remembers her mom or something before that, okay? I didn't need, like, oh, exposition spat at me only at the moment of, like, her fighting against Endora, right?
Endorsa.
What's her name?
Endorsa.
Endorsa. Okay. Endorsa, right? Like, I didn't need exposition then. I needed to know, like, earlier, just a little bit earlier. Just give me things a little bit earlier to actually digest things and not be like, here it is now, like a bird, like, regurgitating worms to its, like, younglings. That's fine. God damn it, stop it.
Okay, so I definitely can say I agree that there was a chance to fix some things, at least in the beginning story, where you know, they actually kept a lot of the scenes exactly where they occurred in the story, but some of these definitely could have happened before to give better weight to some of the situations that were going to come up later on, instead of, yeah, happening like literally right within each other. Now, the one thing you said with there like being no tension of not knowing Rachel was going to backstab or do something terrible, I would disagree with you there, just because there are multiple instances in which we see shady things happening between either Rachel or between the test administrator. So they're there. It's just like you skip them entirely if you're like already in that state where you're at, where you're just kind of like, I already don't like so much of this, so you just kind of wash over it. So they do take time to at least show that. I do say that the biggest thing that gives weight to your argument is definitely at the very end episode, where they basically go through the first 15 minutes of that episode is literally just an exposition dump of Rachel's entire mindset up until that point.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I was a little remiss about, because I do know in that last episode, in that last chapter, they do kind of the same-ish thing, but it's not as long and it's not as drawn out. It's very, very quick to the point of like her coming to that. And we've seen bits and pieces of her up to that point of being slightly a little bit wrong.
Yeah, and Dorsey asks Rachel, so can I kill everybody?
Yeah, like right away. That like that's your first instance right there that tells her she's doing something, that's something shady about her. Because Andorsa does ask her right away, is it okay if I kill everyone? And she's like, yes, do it, everyone. You know, and it's only after that that we figure out that she, during that whole exposition dump, that she makes this decision to not want to kill him and instead to try to protect him. That was the one big change for this one in Rachel. If they show off that she's actually given the choice to actually take out Batman. Well, actually, no, she isn't given the choice. She's given the mission to do that. Whereas in the webtoon, they don't actually tell us what objective Fugue actually tells Rachel to do. They just give her a task, or more or less the ability to make it into the tower, but they don't tell us what it is she needs to do, more or less outside of just getting Bam out of the equation, which means just having him fail the test. But in here, they actually straight up say, you have to kill him, or you need to make the effort to. So, you know, this, that last chapter, or the last episode giving us all that weight that she goes through is, you know, we get all of this at once, and you're like, oh, you feel all this pressure now, which is something that probably could have been, like you said, spread out and drip thread through the episodes. We could have seen that.
Okay. This also bothered me, because Bam would have listened to Rachel no matter what she asked him to do. He'd be like, hey,
true,
I need you to just fucking leave, and then I can claim, and then they'll let me climb the tower. And he'd be like, oh, okay, let me waddle away like the little good birdie, like little good bird I am. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it would have been fine. But they didn't do that. It was.
We know we're assuming on that level too, because we know that Bam actually won't leave the tower for her. Mm-hmm. Because that's the one reason he even came into the tower in the first place, when she said, "Leave me behind." He followed
if she just told him the truth, it's either you die or I can't climb the tower. And you'd be like, oh, why? Because they won't let me. And he'd be like, oh, okay. Like,
well, I mean, what? One, that would have completely ruined Fuke's plans, because, you know, if you said, you have to die so I can climb the tower, which we know that was like, oh, no, we didn't want him to actually die. You know, we just wanted you to make that attempt to do it. Because they wanted to make everyone believe that, you know, he had died so that they can bring in that Slayer nominee, or the nominee for later. So
yeah, but she doesn't know that.
Of course she does.
We go by the fucking anime, okay? If we go by what was like adapted and how it was, all they did was like, Kenna was like, hey, you want to climb the tower? All you have to do is just kill Bam. Just kill him. He doesn't even say, just push him out of the way so he doesn't climb it. No, he goes, you just have to kill him. And she's like, okay. Like, how hard would it have been?
It does. Well, she exclaims in that exposition, like I said, multiple times, like how easy it was and multiple chances she had to do it, and she grappled with doing it. Like,
no, it wasn't that she grappled with doing it. She was always like, wait, You jumped in the way to die for me, and yet you still didn't die. Oh, there was this moment where you should have died, but you didn't die. Oh, she wasn't even at any point where, like, oh, I could have killed him at any point. She was like,
yes,
wait,
she
wait.
Was.
No, she went, oh, hey, he should have died here, but he didn't. He should have died here too, but he didn't. That was her problem. Not because, like, she was like, oh, I could have, like, killed him by my, like, with my own two hands. That I don't even call to hear that.
I think you need to rewatch that last episode. There's literally a part in there where they talk, where she gets captured by Ho-Ho and he stabs her. She states,
that
was
that
my
point,
chance
yes,
to kill him.
Absolutely right. Yes, yes.
Because she said right then and there.
Then she was like, oh, she could have just, no, she was already mad at him for not dying multiple times. For like, oh, I set you up to die because you're a weak little, like, bird. Why don't you just fucking die? You're like, why don't you just fucking die? Is what her, like, response was, or her feelings was. I don't think she ever was actually conflicted with actually killing him, though.
I think she was conflicted with killing him.
Because
all those chances of him dying.
The way I watched it and I felt it and saw it was that, hey, how come he doesn't die? He should be dead. I am more jealous than anything as to why he's not dead. I keep watching him now because I have to find out how come he survives and I'm in a terrible spot. What's so special about him that's not about me? That's what that is.
I mean,
that's why the whole point of Hedon's thing was like, hey, you don't want to climb the tower to watch the stars. You want to be a fucking star. That's the whole deal. Not like she's like, oh, yeah.
She wants to be the special.
Yeah, she wants to be the special one. And she's like, wait, how come Bam's the special one? Yeah. This is stupid. This is absolutely just nonsense stupid.
I mean, that's not nonsense that the fact that she got mad.
If it had gone with, like, how it's, like, originally read, when I remember reading it, was that, oh, hey, you just need to make sure Bam doesn't pass. I would be fine. But once, like, the whole deal was, it was, like, said that, oh, Hedon said, oh, you have to kill him? That's the problem. That's the fucking problem. That one line changes the entire stupidity here.
Because she got upset that he didn't die in all of these situations?
Yes, because it changes from like, oh, he didn't fail, to like, oh, he didn't die. When I could have just easily told her at any point to just fucking die. Or leave the fucking tower. Or like at any point, be like, hey, let me tell you the truth. And the truth is, I can't climb if you're motherfucking here.
I don't think she would ever told him the truth just because of the way she was. Just because of the way that we've seen most of her character, she just could never actually bring herself to tell him anything of a truth, or even to just die. Not to mention the fact that every time that he didn't die, she technically had a chance to do the killing, but she didn't want to. So that's kind of the frustration she got, is because she didn't want to have that mental burden of like, it's my fault that he died, instead of it just being like, oh, he died because of an accident, so I've completed the goal. So I think that there's a little bit more playing into there that you're probably just getting upset over and not noticing just because of that whole bit. But that's your door there. So beyond that, definitely a change of some of the, not even the scenes, but just a change in which they occur. Was there anything else that you found bad? Like even just going on to like the other characters. Like, I know everyone has their angry hatred towards Bam because of his non-characterness, like, of a main character, having no agency, no personal thing to himself, or Rachel. But what about the other characters? Yeah, but like, Coon, Rack, I think all of them were pretty, you know, pretty well spot on what they were.
Well, this is a story about side characters compared to the main character.
Yes, the first season is very much a story of the side characters, more so than the main character. But, I think they all did pretty well there. I don't think I saw anything bad within that level. I did definitely not like, some of the mischances for some tension. There were some opportunities where they could have ratcheted up a little bit and given us, just a tiny bit more that would have really played out towards some things like, the hide and seek game, I really feel like that was supposed to be like a half tension, half teach moment. And I feel like a lot of that got lost when they did that.
They really took out a lot of the teaching
moments. Yeah, like Quartz going through.
When Quartz was fighting Shibisu, he was straight up just teaching him what to do as a scout.
Yeah.
While beating his ass at the same time.
Exactly.
No, instead they turned Quartz into apparently a character who's supposed to be kind of like kind of stupid into like nothing but exposition. He was like, oh, no, let me not show you how to do things. Let me just like spit at you, like everything else in this show.
Let me be just a dick.
I think that a lot of that comes from the fact of, you know, the translation over is that they wanted to really get all that exposition out of the way in the first season, which it's not unheard of to see in a lot of shows where they just dump all of this knowledge on you, but then come the next seasons later on, it's you don't need to re-explain any of it.
People aren't stupid. You can just show them.
You can.
Help them.
You totally can, but I'm not the production team, and I'm not, you know, the committee that decided exactly how this was going to go down. You know, I can only give my input on exactly how I think it went and how I can interpret what they were trying to get across, and if it was either, you know, acceptable way of doing it or a little less than a little underneath that bar. But yeah, so I'd say that we've got plenty enough on the bad side for everything overall, at least what we didn't like. Sarah, did you have anything in there you wanted to add it outside of Chu's almost like 15-minute rant? Just like Rachel, continue, right? The worst part of it all in Rachel in 15 minutes right there. I don't think you need to, but
yeah. I was just gonna say about the information aspect, because they didn't really explain a lot about what things are. They didn't explain a lot about, you know, the floors and whatnot. Like in the first season, they explained what things are, and that kind of made me mad that the anime missed out what it is, because it's a piece of the power set.
Yeah, but for some reason they really lightened up on, like, after they completed the first or the second test, and then they have the classroom session, they kind of like breezed through that as quickly as they could, so they didn't really have to go over too much.
Here, let's give us useless exposition, but leave all the important exposition. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt watching this, and I was like,
yeah, there was a lot.
I don't need to know this.
And like a lot of dialogue missed from the test administrator and you know.
I think there was a lot of like fear of like I said before, with some people just them not being able to explain it in a good way or even show it, so they just went with the easy with the quickest way or the easiest way, which is just to dump it on you and just go, hey, we told you it. You don't need to. You can't complain that you didn't get this knowledge before.
How about we don't spend like 5 minutes of one episode at the end of one episode for a Nox backstory, and then 5 minutes at the beginning of the next episode again for more of a Nox story, and we could have taken those 10 minutes and given exposition as to what the power set and everything was. That would be great! I'm not saying I don't like a Nox, okay? It's just that once we got to that point, all she had to be like, oh yeah, the sisters of Jihad killed my mom because she all broke the rules. And then that's all they had to do. Like, it's not like people who watch this don't understand, like, oh, if my mom was killed, they have that emotional tie. That is an obviously like emotional tie that you don't need to have 10 minutes worth of like scenes to just explain this. I'm like, okay, so her mom died because She broke the rules, and the dolls of Jihad killed her. Cool, we get it, okay? And then we don't even know it was like them at that point, right? Because it was the what's his name at the end,
the one teacher,
he was like, oh hey, look, I've got your mom's necklace, and it was like, wait, how would you have had that unless you were the one who killed my mom?
He was, right? Might have been one of the death squad people.
Yeah, that it was like, wait, so how do you even know it was like the daughters who killed your fucking mom at this point? You fucking don't. So like, that could have just been left like that. So we, like, it would have been fine. It would have been fucking fine to have less backstory on some of these characters like this. It was unnecessary. I'd rather have more explained as to what the world is like. Not like, I don't need to know. I get it. I get that season one of Tower of God is like, hey guys,
it's set up. It's
this is Sam, but ignore him. Just look at the rest of the crew, okay? Look at
they're more important.
Look at side character one, side character two, side character three. Look at all these characters that, like, if I remember correctly reading it, at some point kind of just like is kind of irrelevant later on, right? Like, because they're like, oh yeah, we already touched Star, and they kind of resolved it. Look, Anak and Darcy kind of like become friends. We're fine, guy. We're fine now. Just move on. And I was like, yeah, but this, it's not necessary.
Oh, so many points for you there. All right. So I don't want to keep getting you on these super long rants all and over of the same thing there. So how about we move on to just like individual scores overall? Like, can you give us, I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, at least overall, like, did the season just tank so low for you that you didn't know what to do with it? It was just horrible to watch.
Four.
Or is it just all like mediocre for you? So,
four.
Just four for you?
I was expecting
okay.
a one.
I was kind of a two. I was even maybe expecting a two. But, so, four.
No, because it is definitely fucking mediocre. However, I'll say this. The first episode is a one. If you watch the first episode and you drop it, then be lucky that you fucking dropped it, okay? That's how I feel, all right? But if you watch if you want to continue going through it, then I'd be like, I guess you get a four out of it? That's how I feel.
Okay, right. I mean, that's fine. Seraph, how about you?
I'll let you go first.
You're gonna let me go first? I still have
to know how low of a bar I have to beat.
Oh, well, that's easy. I'd still give this at least a seven like I did before. This is not the worst. It's not the best of shows. It's not the highest rated, and it doesn't do a lot of things great, but it isn't the worst thing I've ever seen. And I can definitely find far worse shows after like the first 10 minutes than this. This did not anger me in any way, shape, or form. And I actually did enjoy some of the scenes. I did enjoy some of the fights. I did enjoy a lot of the characters. Bam does not anger me because I understand the mentality of him being a literal child. He does not have any of these things that all of us have, and I don't feel a problem not instantly inserting myself into why he doesn't do this.
It didn't bother you where we had episodes that was like, 1 minute is Banner Ranger, 1 minute is back to the crew, 1 minute is Banner Ranger, 1 minute is back to the crew.
I
was like, why are we doing this?
I did have my problems with it. That's why I didn't give it a freaking 8 or 9 or any higher. There's a lot of things in there that do trip up a lot. I don't like some of the like random flashbacks between certain
down
people.
Down the fucking staircase? Before. Yes.
I did not like that.
You. Like, let me push you like Rachel. Out.
It's good to know. It's good to know who's the villain in this group then, right away. But yeah, like I said, I didn't have that big of a problem with it as Ark did. I think anyone who was watching it would be fine. And yes, there's a lot of issues that I could see coming along, especially if you're an overexperienced anime goer rather than someone new to this, or even, you know, just overall to the series. You may find a lot of things in there that you enjoy.
I think Sora Online is better than this.
Ooh.
Because Sora Online is like, hey guys, take this sweet piece of candy. You're like, oh, cool. And then it's like, oh, it turns kind of sour in the end, but I guess. But with Tower of God, it was like, here, take this piece of shrapnel, eat it.
It's like a
that's
warhead.
Interesting.
It's extremely like sour.
Extremely sour at the start. Seraph, so your score.
Yeah, I'm about to go to the same, about like a 6.57.
Seven.
Like, I didn't hate it. I liked a lot of it, the animations, voice actors, music.
Yes, I did like the voice actors. I liked Kun's voice actor. I like LaRoro's voice actor.
LaRoro did a great job for his voice acting. Great job for LaRoro. It was incredible.
I think he did, yeah.
And
I really enjoyed that.
Great job too, even though he showed up.
I had no problem with the voice actors except Head On.
Yeah, he showed up for 2 episodes.
I was expecting a different voice for Head On. I really was. I kind of was a little like, I got used to it.
An older guy, I guess.
I was almost kind of expecting a trickster's voice in a lot of regards, kind of a bit.
kind of like since
I wanted a voice that had authority, and that voice did not have authority. That was like, oh hey, cool, hey cool grandpa. That's like how I felt with Hedda. All right.
I can understand that. But okay, so I mean, even if we average out the scores, it's still pretty low. It was a rough start to a season for a show, especially for the first one coming out of the gate.
Yeah, especially for the first came out. The worst first episode of any anime I've ever seen for like the past.
I don't believe you on that one. Okay, there we go. So to say, I don't entirely believe you on that one, but yeah, no. There's a rough start going into the show for sure. But I don't think it's the worst of all. And I know that if you make it, like I even said in a comment to the other crew that we were talking to about this, this is very much like a Buffy effect, where the first season is actually super, super rough. And it's really difficult.
No, but Buffy was campy.
Great.
As bad as it was campy. It was at least like, oh, hey, cool. At least
I'm not comparing it in a one-to-one comparison. Come on. Listen to the whole speech before we jump into it.
Not use the comparison of it.
No, I can. The idea is, the ideology for it is that, you know, the first season is super rough. It's hard to get through. But if you make it through, the second season, the third season, the fourth season are gold and amazing because they spent the first season basically just giving you all the information right up front. So you don't have to go through that, you know, that learning experience later on.
It's fine. People, if you're starting Tower of God, apparently just start season two because season one's trash.
I mean,
but
that might not
two,
be entirely
you get a
true.
Completely different set of characters.
Yeah, exactly. So you're gonna be even more
it's fine.
Confused.
Just, no, just it's fine. That's how useless this is. Because you find out in all these characters from the first season when you're like, oh man, I can't wait to know what's happened to them. And then it's like, oh wait, look.
And then season two comes and you get nothing of them anymore.
Nothing of them.
Wait, I had an emotional investment with Rack. And Coon, what? Where's my Rack and Coon? You mean? Oh, I have none of that now. Yes,
I got a fucking Pokemon Master.
They'll replace them with the same cute and cuddable characters all the way around, and you get those characters back too. Their stories will come around, but hopefully, with the next season, we'll get more episodes going all the way around, and this way we can flesh out everything else within the world, and we'll get more time to actually.
Especially with season two having over 200 chapters?
Yeah, they'll definitely need some time to kind of play around through all of that. Hopefully the music stays on point, the animation can continue to rise in some levels, because there is a lot more big scenes, big fight scenes that come up with that.
Yeah.
Not to mention some of the abilities that get shown off.
Because like season two in the webtoon, the art style changed drastically.
Yeah, it did. It did quite a bit, so.
I hope that whoever does the next season of this actually reads the source material beforehand and knows what's going to happen and knows how to adapt it correctly, instead of like, oh yeah, guys, so this week we have this episode which covers these chapters. Now that's your homework, and then we'll adapt it like that, okay? Because, you know, scene for scene, cut for cut.
Yeah, that definitely can cause some issues before, and I definitely agree to that. It's like a one-to-one scene for scene does not equal success every time, for sure, on that level. But I think that we're good on that point. I think everyone's got their opinions out, and I think we've covered everything we can for this time around. So I will go ahead and let Seraph close us out for this episode.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching this episode of Relevant Ramblings. If you guys enjoyed it, please leave a like down below. And make sure to subscribe to our channel. If you guys want to keep updated with our content, make sure to hit the little notification bell below. And we have an all my links down below for our Spotify, our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that sweet stuff going on down there. And please look out for our Twitch channel that's coming out soon, eventually, probably for season two, and also for our Discord channel.
Oh yes. Thank you, Sarah, for that. But if you can, just go ahead and send all your Androsi and Rachel pictures to Ark at his Facebook page when you get a chance. But anywho, I will say, let's go ahead and we can close this one out for the last time. I am of course your hoist, your big man. It is Sleepy.
It's your boy Sarah here.
And this is Ark Dragoon out.
Oh wait.
All right.
Make sure to comment down below what you guys think of season one.
Please, please comment down below. Let us know. Let just us know how much he's just whining. Let me know how much he's whining.
Mediocre trash.
Oh, I'm gonna keep that on a reel there. All right, everyone, take it easy out there.
Bye bye.